It's a good day to be the church together, the church gathered, and the Arlington campus was able to meet this morning, and then so many of you from both the Arlington campus and from the Cordova campus are with us online today, and we get to be together in Scripture, and then I get to see some of you here in person in Cordova. And it is just good to be together. Some of you guys, you were snowed in the whole week. My family made it snowed in one day before we lost our minds, and we had to venture out. And so we've been venturing out every day. We just finding reasons to leave the house. And you know, you got to cope with that. However that goes. We were gonna have a guest preacher this morning, and he is able to come next week. And so I am really excited to introduce you to Ricky Peterson. He'll be with us next week, and looking forward to that. You want to be a part of services next week for that. And so we're in this book of James, and so we've gone through the first chapter, we've gotten into that, and we're going to skip forward to the third chapter because our guest preacher is going to bring the second chapter next week, all right? Can you handle that going out of order one week? It's going to be okay. It'll be all right. Let me pray for us, and we're going to get in the scripture together. God, we give you thanks for your word, that you would speak to us, that you would give us your scripture. And God, we hold this as your word, like your actual words to us, that you know us, you know the world we live in, the predicaments that we face, and you gave us your scripture, that we'd know how to act and how to live and how to treat each other. So God, I pray that you would help us to listen to it, listen carefully, to understand what's going on in your scripture. And most of all, that we would actually put it into practice. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. In James chapter 3, now remember, James is the bishop of Jerusalem. And the people, the Christians of Jerusalem, have been under great persecution. And so a lot of them have left, and they've dispersed across the Roman world. And James speaks with authority as this bishop to the Christians that are spread out across the Roman world. Most of them, the ones that he knew that were from Jerusalem, were Jewish folks that had come to believe in Jesus and become followers of Jesus. And so he speaks to them, and he's speaking to them in tough times, in difficult situations, and he's speaking wisdom to them. And so James is a book full of wisdom, but he's not always the kindest. He's a little bit grouchy sometimes, and James just comes across just straightforward. He's going to shoot straight, but he wants to lift up this group of Christians that have kind of dispersed all over, and he wants them to live out their faith. And so we've called this series All Day, Every Day, because it's not just about understanding faith, and it's not just about a feeling of faith, but the book of James is really practical. He's saying you've got to actually live this faith out. And in James chapter 3, he begins to explore how we speak, the way we use words. Cammie and I got to go away for a couple of days. This was week before last. I was at a conference in Florida, and I flew back. But instead of flying here, I flew to Nashville, and Cammie drove over and met me there. This was before the snowpocalypse, so it was okay. And she drove my car and picked me up in my car, and we were going to have just a little, just a quick getaway before we came back here. And I got in the car, and everything was messed up in my car. You guys know this feeling, right? She drove from Memphis. You know, she had settled in to my car. You know, her stuff was everywhere. The visors were all messed up. Just everything was wrong. Everything. And I can't remember. She touched something, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat in my own car. It's bad enough. And I'm like, everything you've touched, you've messed up. I did not get a good look when it's like, you know, a little romantic getaway kind of weekend. It wasn't supposed to start like that, you know. And I got and then we went to a grocery store to pick up a few groceries because that's how we roll on romantic getaway weekends, you know. And we picked up just some snacks, you know. We need some snacks. So and maybe lunches, but it's okay. And so we're at the grocery store. Well, she went to a grocery store that she knew was just down the street from where some of her longtime friends lived. And wouldn't you know it, they were there. We had to talk to people. I'm trying to get away from people, right? And here we stand, and we're talking to friends, and we get done with that, and I walked out there. I said, you should have known better than to go to this grocery store. She goes, you are actually blaming me that people in Nashville happened to be at a grocery store the same time we were in. Yes, I am. You knew better. It wasn't going well. We got to the little hotel, and she had gone in to get the stuff. And by this time I was finally driving, and she'd run in to get the key or whatever. And we go to the elevator, and she didn't know what floor to go to. How could she not? She was the one that went and talked to the friend. Actually, she did know, but I was confused myself, but I didn't feel like I was the one confused. Anyhow, it was not good. And I let her know, you know, And finally, she looked at me and she goes, you're about to ruin this whole weekend. And she said, you really ought to think about how you're speaking to me, and maybe you should go take a nap. That's what she said. And that's good advice, actually. That's good advice. I have learned to listen to her. At times she has grace that I don't have, and I can't even see what direction I'm going. But every word that was coming out of my mouth was spewing. And I had to have a little come to Jesus moment and a nap, both helped, right? And some Triscuits, you know. I mean, there's this moment there where I recognize in the stuff that I'm saying, it's just silly if you just look at one of them, you're like, that's silly. But it adds up. And the question that kind of James poses for us is, does God care? Does God care how you speak? Is God part of those conversations? The God of the universe, does he notice when you're telling your wife that everything she touches is messed up? Does it matter? And is God doing the work of formation when someone close to you says, maybe you should pay attention to the way you're talking to me right now? Is God at work in those places? You know, we're born wired for language. Now, we might not all say, hey, we're good at language, or some of you might say, I'm not good with words, or I'm more of a quiet person, but we're all wired for language, right? You know that if you think about it. The words that we do say are important. In fact, when a little baby is just learning to talk, I was watching some videos of our kids because I had extra time this week, who knows? And I was looking at old videos, and they're starting to spit out words. They're not really saying anything. It's just jibber jabber, you know? But their mom's like, oh, you said encyclopedia, you know? And I could, you know, see it on the videos. Well, because we celebrate that first word, and each word that comes, we celebrate it. We look forward to it, and then on the other end of life, when someone's gone or they've lost their voice, they've been silenced, and how you long just to hear their voice. And you might hear a recording of it somewhere, and it just grabs hold of your heart because you You long for that. See, we're wired for these words. And they matter to us. And James wants you to know that it was wired there by God. And that these things matter even to God. If you have a Bible today, I want you to turn with me to James chapter 3. You can pull it up on your phone app as well. But James chapter 3, this is what James says to the church. He starts off, it's not good for me, actually. This is not a good start for me. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. He was writing to the church, and there was turmoil going on, and he's saying, hey, be careful, because what you say actually does have impact, and the teachers will be judged even more strictly. Then he goes on. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say, well, is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. James is talking about the impossibility of your words, but he's also picking up on some of the other argument that he's made earlier, and he's saying it's a whole body thing, right? That we're whole people, and if you can keep your tongue in check, well, probably your whole person is following God. But really, everybody stumbles here. Nobody is perfect in this way. Verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the body parts. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. James is going to make his point, right? He's going to give you lots of different analogies. He wants you to get the point. The tongue, a small thing, it seems insignificant. Sometimes we think of it insignificant with what we say or just throwaway words. But he's saying it matters. It changes things. The way we speak actually guides and directs us. It sets our behavior forward. He's saying the way we talk about things can actually guide the way we live, the way we behave. And he's saying it's dangerous. It could set a whole forest on fire. James is going back through wisdom that was known and common already. It's all through Scripture. Proverbs 12:18 says this, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. This is known stuff. James is just reminding them, hey, guys, the way you speak to each other, well, it's not just throwaway words. It's actually powerful stuff. The way you talk actually can set your course for the way that you live. And the way that you speak to each other can actually burn things down. You've seen it. You've seen relationships burned down by the way people talk to each other. You may have experienced that even in your own life. James wants to call you into check. James wants to be that voice that says, hey, wait a minute, pay attention to this. Pay attention. If you want to live out your faith, it's not just something you believe, but you want to put it into practice, pay attention to the way that you speak. Use your speech, your words for building others up, because it can so easily burn the thing to the ground. And we need to take note for a second. Like, this is the point of James. What does this look like in your life? Not what do you believe about it. Every one of you would believe we should say, we should be careful with our words and say kind words, and we should build each other up. You would all raise your hand and say, yes, yes, I believe that. But what does it actually look like for you? What does this look like in your families? How you speak to each other in your family? What about in your friendships? What if it goes past that? We see this all the time right now. We feel the tension of politics and things going on in our community, and it just gets us riled up and stuff boils out of our mouth. What does it look like if we looked at the way we speak in things like politics through the filter of James? Or how do we approach this online, right? When we think about speaking, James is talking about the tongue, it's only face-to-face. No, it's not, right? Today, we speak over text. We speak on our social media apps. And God cares. It's not just a throwaway thing. Like, he cares about your conversation because it's how you treat the people around you. Sometimes we say, well, I'm just speaking truth, right? And that's this classic biblical role of the prophet. I'm speaking truth to people. I just have to say what the truth is. And so we take that into all of our relationships, and that just comes out of our mouth. I'm just going to speak the truth. I'm the prophet. But sometimes in the name of the prophet, we tear down, we destroy, and we burn up. Pay attention, even if you're speaking truth, to how you speak that truth. Sometimes the role needs to be less of a prophet and more of a priest. The priest comes alongside and carries you alongside as you go into the presence of God. You're still looking at truth, but come alongside that. But in the name of being a prophet, we tear down. Or maybe more likely for you, I know this is what gets me, is in the name of humor. In the name of humor, what seems to be funny actually tears down. I find myself there all the time, just the easy side comment that happens in places, happens in the workplace, and it happens at home, and it's in the name of humor, or probably it's really in the name of my own insecurity. That's where it really sits. In the name of my own insecurity, I say words that tear down, not build up. And it actually destroys. Like Proverbs says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. I was supposed to go shorter today. I promised them I would. Then I told them I would go 2 minutes longer than they set my timer, and I'm already past that. So let's go fast. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 9. We're just going to do a couple more verses. With the tongue, this is how James kind of ends this part. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father. And with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. James is just straightforward. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. He's just putting two things that can't be together. It just can't, a grapevine can't produce olives. It just doesn't happen. It's not the right thing. This is why. He says the same words that bless God, the prayers and the Jewish prayers especially all start with blessing God. The same voice that blesses God, it can't curse or tear down the people that were created in God's image. Do you get that? He wants to give you this perspective. The people that you're speaking to, as we're communicating with others, they're not just throwaways. They're people created in the image of God. The reason our language matters so much, the reason it's not just throwaway words, the reason we don't use words to tear down, but we use them to build up, is because the people that we're interacting with, those who we're using language with, they are the image bearers of the God who created the universe. That's the perspective that James has and he wants to remind you of. And then he says this, you can't be both. James is all about, you can't be double. You can't live two ways. And James says, you know, the same mouth can't do blessings and curses. It can't, you can't, you know, if you're a grapevine, you don't produce olives. And he's getting at something that Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And I encourage you with this today. If language is a thing and you're like, hey, you know, as I take note of my life, of living this out, I want to change that. I want to change the way I speak. I want to encourage you. Yeah, work on the behavior of changing the way you speak. That's good. Get yourself a jar and throw money in it every time you speak ill of someone or, you know, do something. That's great. Do the behavior thing. But I want you to pay attention to something else. I want you to pay attention to your heart. Because the way you speak comes actually from your heart. And some of us, we got to pay attention because we need a heart check. A stop. Pay attention. Is my heart soft before God? Is it broken before God? This is James' word to us on this snowy, cold morning when we've been in the house too long with each other. Would you pray with me? God, I always love looking at your scripture, but some of it hits too close to home. And God, when I hear the words of James, I'm just reminded the power of words to build up and to destroy. God, I'm reminded of people who have built me up with words over my life and just the way that, oh God, that we're wired for that, we long for that. And I'm reminded of the places where I've been broken down by words. And so I pray that you would work in us, each one of us. God, would you make us a community of people that bless each other, that see each other as image bearers, God, that speak words that heal, not destroy. God, would you work on that in me? Would you work on my heart? Pray this in your holy name. Amen.